Okay, good morning. On Daf Samach Tes, we had a Mishnah that dealt with the issue of Malika and then discovering that the bird is a Trefa. So, as we've been learning, there's something called Tumas Nevela, the impurity of a dead carcass. So if an animal is not slaughtered with shchita, with shaf, drops dead, it's a nevela, and then touch of it makes a person impure, carrying it makes a person impure. If a bird wasn't slaughtered, but dropped dead or was shot, it doesn't have tumas nevela, but it has a new tumas beis hablia. Through the swallowing of that bird, if somebody eats from that carcass, there becomes an impurity on his clothing. That's a unique impurity. Now we learned that malika of a carbon typically removes tumas beis hablia. What happens if there was a malika of the carbon, but then you discover that the bird is a trefa, that the bird has a hole in its lung, that it's not really a bird that's going to live long. It's not a healthy bird. So Rabbi Meir says, even though the malika was on a bird that's a trefa, it removed tumas beis hablia. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, since the bird is a trefa, the malika didn't make it kosher, there is still tumas beis hablia. It says the Mishnah, this is the very top of Samach Tes Amid Beis. Rabbi Meir says, kal v'chomer. The reason why I tell you that a malika on a trefa removes the impurity, it's based on logic. Im nevela spehem ashem etam v'magav amasa. When you have a dead body of an animal, that's a much higher impurity. It's an impurity of touch and moving. And yet, shchitasa, slaughter of it, mitaharas trefasa mitumasa, slaughter, and then it turns out to be a trefa. Still, it's not a nevela anymore. It doesn't have the impurity of nevela. So, and the impurity of nevela is a very severe impurity. So nevela sa'ov. So therefore, by logic, I would say when you have a bird, if it's a nevela, which wasn't slaughtered, it doesn't have a high level of impurity. Touch and carrying of it wouldn't create impurity. Only eating it creates tumas beis hablia. So therefore, ain't no din, so isn't it certainly so certainly the slaughter of the bird should remove this tumah, this weak tumah, from a bird, even if it's a trefa. Once I know that slaughtering will remove the tumas beis hablia, then I'll go further. Slaughter, why does that work? Because that's something which is permitting it to be eaten. And so, even if the slaughter is on a trefa, it takes away the tumah, even though now it didn't permit it to be eaten, because the trefa can't be eaten. So now I'll go further. I'll say when there is a malika on a carbon bird, that's something which would permit it to be eaten. So therefore, it should be able to remove the impurity of tumas beis hablia from a bird which is a trefa. So that's the two views. According to Rabbi Meir, malika on a bird that had a malika on a carbon bird that turns out to be a trefa still removes impurity. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't. Rabbi Yossi says, well, you know, I'm not going to go to the extreme of Rabbi Yehuda. Daya kinevelas behema. We're learning, what was Rabbi Meir's source? Rabbi Meir's source was, there's the severe impurity of nevela of an animal, and that severe impurity is removed by the slaughtering of the animal, even if the animal turns out to be a trefa. So certainly the slaughter of a bird, which is dealing with a lesser impurity, will succeed to remove the lesser impurity, even if the bird turns out to be a trefa. And once the slaughter can remove the lesser impurity, malika can remove the lesser impurity too, because malika is like slaughter. That's what Rabbi Meir says. So Rabbi Yossi says, I'll take half of that. Daya, yeah, you're trying to learn from a bird. You're trying to learn from an animal. So all you can do is like what you have in an animal. Kenevelas behema, like the impurity of an avail of an animal. Shchitasa mitzarasa, slaughter can remove that. The lomali kasi, you never saw that malika, that severing the head with the thumb, can remove that. So slaughter of a bird, even if the bird turns out to be a treifa, will remove the impurity of beis habliya. But we don't know that malika, that the severing of the head with the thumb, that can remove the impurity of beis habliya. That's the Mishnah, three opinions. According to Rabbi Meir, malika succeeds in removing the impurity of beis habliya, and slaughter would succeed to remove the impurity of beis habliya on a bird that turns out to be a treifa. According to Yehuda, a bird that turns out to be a treifa, malika and shchita do not remove tumas beis habliya. Still has tumas beis habliya. According to Yosef, there's a difference between shchita and malika. Shchita would remove the tumas beis habliya, and malika would not. Says the Gemara again. Asks the Gemara, Rabbi Meir lo darish dayam. Rabbi Meir doesn't accept Rabbi Yossi's idea. Does he not understand that whenever you learn from something, you're limited to what you're learning from? Hadayo do raisi. The concept of it's enough to only take what you took from. That's a biblical law. The time is going to embrace them. Even Kal Vachomer, Kate said, how do you know that the Torah can be interpreted through Kal Vachomer? Because we have a Kal Vachomer in Parshas Baaloscha. Moshe davens to Hashem, that Hashem should wipe away the tzaras that Miriam has for having spoken badly about him. Yom Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Vavir Yerok Yerok Pifanel, Lotikolem Shivas Yamin. If her father would have spit her in her face, she'd be embarrassed for a week. Okay, so here God is upset with her. She'll have to have at least a week with the tzaras. One second. But if you're saying that if her father spits at her, she's embarrassed for a week. So here where God's upset, it should be much longer. Kavuchom l'shchina should be arba asar yom, should be 14 days. But why not? Why was it only a week that Miriam had tzaras? Ella, what do you have to say? Dialov menadim yos kenida. If you're learning from a source, from a father who's upset with a child, it's a week. So therefore, what Miriam had will also have to be a week. So really everybody agrees to dial. So now the Gemara rejects the whole thing that we have in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Avin, Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Avin said, Rabbi Meir is not based on a Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Meir is not saying that if the slaughter of an animal can remove the severe Tumas Nevela, so therefore the slaughter of a bird can certainly remove Tumas Beis Habliya, and therefore the Malik of a bird can also remove Tumas Beis Habliya. That's not what's going on. Rather, Rabbi Meir, Krash Kach V'Kadarash, Rabbi Meir has a verse, and based on a verse, he's interpreting his law. What's the verse? The verse is like this. So after the verse talks about impurity, it says, those Torah Sabehema Ve'a'of, this is the law of the animal and the bird. So it sounds like in regards to impurity, the animal and the bird are equated. So what do you mean the animal and the bird are equated? In what way is an animal like a bird in regards to impurity? And a bird to an animal? When you have an animal that drops dead and therefore is in a vela, there's an impurity of touch or carrying. Oh, when you have a bird that drops dead, there's no impurity by touch or by carrying, there's only impurity by swallowing it. Oh, the impurity of eating a carcass of a bird, which is in a vela, is that there's now an impurity through the swallowing on the clothing. But when you have an animal and you eat an animal which is a dead carcass, there is no impurity. In other words, if you touch it, you'd be impure. But let's say you didn't touch it. Somebody cut off a piece of this animal that dropped dead, and he threw it into your mouth, and you now swallow it. There is no impurity. There's no touch. There's no impurity. So in what way are birds like animals? The answer is like this. The linkage of a bird to an animal is for the following. Elohim Elohim to tell you like this. Ma beima, just like in an animal. Davar shemach shira la'achila, what permits the animal for eating, namely slaughtering. Mitar trefasa mitumasa takes away the impurity of nevela, and even if the animal turns out to be a trefa, it's not going to have the impurity of nevela. So af of the same as with a bird. What permits it to be eaten will be metar trefasa mitumasa. We'll remove the trefa, we'll remove the bird from being a nevela and having the laws of nevelas of tar. And therefore, malika, which is what normally permits a carbon to be eaten, if it's done in a carbon, the carbon turns out to be a trefa, took away the impurity. So according to this, it's not based on logic, it's based on a verse. You can't challenge it with the idea of dayo. One second. Now Rabbi Yehuda says that when there's a malika of a bird, carbon, and it turns out that the bird carbon is a trefa, Rabbi Yehuda says it is tame with tumas nevela, and therefore there is a problem with tumas beis ablia. Rabbi Yehuda, my time. What's Rabbi Yehuda's source? The answer is Rabbi Yehuda kra ashkach v'kadar. Rabbi Yehuda has his own pasuk, which is saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there is the impurity of tumas beis ablia on a trefa that had a malika to it. What's the verse? It's the following verse. The verse says, "V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevelo treifa, ba'ezrach uvager, v'chibes begadav v'rachat pamayim v'tamei ad'ar v'taher." It's the verse of this concept of eating a nevela of a bird. It says any soul that will eat nevela or treifa will have to be tamei till the evening. So he interprets like this. The verse says, Nevela utrefa. The verse who eats a soul who eats a nevela or a trefa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Trefa laman amra. Why does the Torah mention trefa? What does it mean when it says trefa? Im trefa chai. If you're going to tell me that an animal that has a hole in its lung, it's basically going to live, it's fine, it can live indefinitely like that. And therefore, what's the meaning of trefa here? Not that when it was alive it became a trefa, because that's irrelevant, it couldn't keep living. But rather that it got this hole, and then it dropped dead. When it dropped dead, it now becomes prohibited for you. Now, when it dropped dead, if you eat from it, you become impure. What's then? Hare nevela amur, that's nevela. A nevela is an animal that's dead, that didn't have a shechita that made it die. So here it's an animal that died without a shechita. Now, and if you're going to tell me trefa ain't a chaya, that a trefa, even before it drops dead, once it's a trefa, it's not going to live 12 months. So you're saying that the verse is saying that once it's a trefa, it now has the ability to create impurity, even though it's still breathing. One second, but why is it creating impurity? Why is it not living? Because basically it's already going to die. That means it already is a nevela. Again, already bechlal nevela. So why did the verse have to mention both nevela and trefa? Elas, it must be. Why did the verse mention the word trefa? Lahavi trefa sheshachta. There's a nevela, it's an animal that drops dead. And when it says trefa, it means a trefa that actually has a slaughtering. And it's saying that this is a trefa that has a slaughtering to it. And even so, there is an impurity because it's a trefa. Shemetam. So, it's a pasuk. Amr Shizbi said, if that's what Rebuta's pasuk is, what about the following verse? Elamayat, according to this, the verse that says that the fat of a nevela, of an animal that dropped dead, or the fat of a trefa, you can get benefit from it. You can't eat it, but you can get benefit from it. It doesn't have impurity. Let's see what the verse says. The chel of nevela. The fats of a nevela or chel of trefa. Are you going to say the same logic? Kasam nami, you're going to say the same thing. Im trefa chaya, if a trefa is going to live indefinitely, and it's talking about a trefa that's dropping dead, but then it's a nevela. Hare nevela amura, but nevela is already said. Im trefa ino chaya, and if a trefa is not living within 12 months, so then it's a trefa once. It becomes prohibited to be eaten, but not creating impurity. You can get benefit from it when it's still a trefa. But arei b'chal nevela, but it's already nevela then. So then you're going to say that when it says trefa, lahavi trefa sheshachta, it's telling me trefa means a trefa that was slaughtered. So what? A trefa that's slaughtered, shechel b'tahar. You're saying that the verse is saying that the fat of a trefa that's slaughtered, the fat is tahar. If that's the case, Michlal de Hitzmeya. What's the verse saying? The verse is saying that the fat of the treifa that's slaughtered is tahor, but the treifa itself, the meat, is not tahor. So now you have a verse telling you that a treifa that's slaughtered is tameh. One second. Vam Rav Yehuda mer Rav, but didn't Rav Yehuda say the name of Rav? Vam masnisa tama. And some say we learned it in the Brisa. The verse says, "V'chiyamus mina behema." And if an animal will, if some of the animal dies, then if you touch it, you are tamed. It's telling you, "Mixas behema matama." Only some of the animals, if they are dead, is there tumas nevela. But mixas behema ena matama. Some of the animals, even when they are dead, there is no tumas nevela. Ezu. So what's that? Treifa sheshachta, a treifa that's slaughtered. There's no tumas nevela. So what does it mean when it says treifa? When it says that the chalef, the fat of a treifa, isn't impure. Ela treifa mi boile lemute tzmeya. The point why it says treifa is to say that this law, that the fat is not impure of a dead animal, that's only true in a kosher animal, but not in a non-kosher animal. And it's saying like this, Mishiesh b'mina treifa, in those things that can sometimes be disqualified because they're a treifa, namely kosher animals. Yatzazu, but unlike an animal that's not a kosher type, Shem b'mina treifa, treifa is irrelevant to it because it's not kosher. So if that's the case, Hachanami, so when it says treifa here in regards to the bird, Limute oftame, it's talking about the reason why it says treifa is to exclude a non-kosher bird. Shem b'mina treifa. And it's saying that if there is a, because a non-kosher bird could never be treifa, it's already prohibited as non-kosher. And it's saying that the non-kosher bird, that's the one that doesn't have tumas beis hablia. But it's not saying anything that an animal, that a bird that was slaughtered, and it turns out to be a treifa, still has tumas beis hablia. So where it says no. Of Tameh, a non-kosher bird, the Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the fact that it doesn't have Tumas, Beis Ablia, when it's dead, that's learned from Nevela Nafkale. That's learned from the other word, the word Nevela. The time is learned in a Brice, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda says, Yachol Yed Tehei Nevelas Of Tameh, Mitama Begadama Beis Ablia. Maybe if you have a non-kosher bird that drops dead and then somebody eats from it, there would be the impurity on the garments because it had gone through his mouth. Tamlum, that's the verse, says, Nevelo treifa lo yochel. It's a nevela and a treifa that cannot be eaten. Telling you, Mishu Yisur Mishum Bal Tochel Nevela, when you have something prohibited because it's a nevela, Yatz is that to exclude a non-kosher. Shein Yisur Mishum Bal Tochel Nevela, Mishum Bal Tochel Tamek. Because that's already prohibited because you can't eat because it's not non-kosher. Well, I said, no. Hainami, even this law, at the chalev of, you can say the law about chalev too. So hainami, this law, that the chalev of a non-kosher animal is not pure. Typically, I could figure it out from this verse where it says, V'chelev nevela, v'chelev treifa. So once it says v'chelev nevela, let me say like this: Mishisur mishum bal tochal chelev nevela. When is it a law? When is this law applicable with something where the prohibition is because don't eat the chelev of a nevela? Yatzazu to exclude a non-kosher animal. Sheini sur mishum bal tochal chelev nevela, mishum bal tochal tameh. I don't need the word treifa for it. I could use it from the word nevela. Answers the Gemara, you're right. The law that the fat of a non-kosher animal that drops dead doesn't have purity, but rather it has impurity, could be learned from the word nevela. That the fat of a nevela is pure, implying that which is only nevelas is pure, but that which is also non-kosher is already impure. Elohai treifa mi boya, this that it says, the fat of a treifa, in regards to the fats being pure, mi boya is needed la suye to include Chaya, the fat of a wild animal. The fat of a wild animal, if let's say the wild animal is slaughtered correctly, is actually edible. It's actually kosher. There's only chaylev of behemos, chaylev of domesticated animals is not kosher. So, Kedai Tachamina would have thought to say, Mishachel ba'asur b'sara mutter, when you have an animal that the fat is normally not allowed and the flesh is allowed, then if it's an avela, if it drops dead, so the flesh is now tamei, and the fat is tar. Yatzisu, to exclude a chaya, shachel b'sara mutter, which is different, because its fat and its flesh is normally allowed. Kamash malan. So that's why I need the pasuk of treifa to say no, anything which could become a treifa has the law that its meat will be impure and the fat is pure.
So chaylev of a wild beast is mutter?
Yes, that's right.
But the chaylev of a nevela of a kosher animal that is forbidden to eat is tahor in what, in terms of touching?
Tahor in terms of touching, that's right. That's right. That's what we're referring to, that law. So the Gemara says, one second. He said to him, Maishnutzme, when you have a non-kosher animal, we said that the fat of the dead non-kosher animal is impure. Dein chelba chaluk mipsar, because its fat, let's now do a mamatzim. In a non-kosher animal, the fat and the meat are the same. They're both not allowed for you to be eaten. So chayanami, so in a wild animal, it'd say the same. Since ein chelba chaluk mipsara, since the meat is the same as the fat, that they both are allowed to be eaten, we should say that there is an impurity to the fat. Vote and another problem. Huxley, the verse says, V'achol lo sochlu. This fat is tahar, but you can't eat it. One second. If it's the fat of a wild animal, you are allowed to eat it. Elamar Abaye, so rather Abaye said, when the Torah says, Chelev treifa, treifa legufei it's trich. That's the inference in itself to say that if an animal drops dead, the fat is tahar. So you say 1 second, but it's already a nevela. I'll tell you why I need the verse. Shalo tomer, don't say ho ilu tmei asura mechayim, since a non-kosher animal is prohibited when it's still alive. Utreifa asura mechayim, and an animal that's a treifa is prohibited when it's still alive. And therefore, say matmeya, just like in a non-kosher animal. Chel batame. Its fat is impure. Af treifa chel batame. So to a treifa, its fat should be impure. That's only the pasuk to tell me explicitly that no, it's not impure. Says the Gemara, no. Yihachi, if that's the case, so we would have been comparing an animal that's a treifa to an animal that's not kosher. Then, hainami. This that it says treifa in regards to the laws of the tumah of a dead bird, nibai, I should say I need treifa for it itself. Shalo tomer, don't say hov of tamei aser b'achila, just like a non-kosher bird can't be eaten, so too a treifa, a bird that's a treifa is asura b'achila. Treifa bird can't be eaten, and say like this: Ma'uf tame eino mitame. Just like a non-kosher bird that drops dead, there is no impurity through the swallowing of the meat of this bird. Af treifa eino mitame. So too in a treifa, a bird that's a treifa, if you swallow the meat, there won't be any impurity. And that's why I need a pasuk for that to exclude that. Vod, and another point. Can you even say that we would have thought to learn treifa from a non-kosher animal or a non-kosher bird? Wait, it's not kosher. It never had an ability to be kosher. Treifa is a lashasa kosher. A treifa chewed while it's still alive, it's already not kosher, but it was originally kosher. You might say, well, not always. Sometimes an animal is born a treifa, so then it never had a moment when it was allowed. Yeah, but still, Michael, man, what are you going to say about? But still, b'mina mi'aika, but still in its type, there was moments that it's kosher. Whereas in a non-kosher type, it's never kosher. Ella amar Rava, rather Rava said, the reason why the Torah, what's the Torah trying to teach with the words chelev treifa? It's not to say that the fat of a treifa is tahor. But we're going to say like this. The verse there says, v'acholo tochlu, don't eat the chelev. The Torah is saying, yavo ister nevela, the point of the Torah is that the prohibition of the nevela can come, v'yachol al ister chelev, and it can take effect on top of that which is already prohibited with the prohibition of chelev. And it's telling us that Yavu Yisur Treifa, when it says Acholo Tochlu, don't eat it, that the prohibition of Treifa comes and takes effect via Acholo Yisur Chelev, on something which is already prohibited with the prohibition of Chelev. Utricha, and I need those two lessons, both lessons. V'yashmin Nevela, if the point is to tell me that Nevela can be Chalal Yisur, can take effect on the prohibition of Chelev, I'll say Mishum de Mitanya, because the prohibition of the Nevela is very severe. It even creates Tumah by touch. Avol Treifa, but an animal that's a Treifa, where there is no Tumah, Emelo, I would think not. V'yashmina Treifa, and if the Torah tells me that the prohibition of Treifa takes effect on top of Chelev, I'll tell you, because the prohibition of Treifa, Mishum de Yisur HaMechayim, that already starts during the lifetime of the animal. Avol Nevela, but the prohibition of the Nevela only starts after the animal dies. Same alone, there maybe the prohibition can't take effect on top of chelev. And that's why tzricha, that's why I need these verses. Okay. So again, there's an argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a bird, karban, and it gets slaughtered, and it turns out that it's a treifa, does that remove tumas beis sabliya? If you say that Shechita removes Tumas Beis Sabliya, according to Rabbi Meir, that would also then tell you that Malika would remove Tumas Beis Sabliya. Ask the Gemara. Now, till now we were explaining the view of Rabbi Yehuda. How did he say that the Tumas stays? Rabbi Meir said that the Tumas is removed. So, hi, Treifa, my Avidlay. What does he do with the word Treifa that the Pasuk mentions? Ask the Gemara. It's the point is to say like this, treifa, there is impurity in the bird, but if a bird was slaughtered, even a bird which is a karban, slaughtered, not doing malika, slaughtered in the azara, it no longer has tumas beis sabliya. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that law? Rabbi Yehuda knows that law, treifa achminok, said from another word, treifa, in a different verse. Rabbi Meir, why does he have the word treifa twice? Chalam u'te shkutu shilifnim. One is for this law that if a karban bird is slaughtered in the azara, that also removes tumas beis sabliya. V'chalam u'te oftami. And one to say that if you have a bird that's not kosher, and it drops dead, then there wouldn't be Tumas Beis Sabliya. Rabbi Yehuda, as we said before, so he needs one treifa to tell me that a bird that is slaughtered in the Azara loses Tumas Beis Sabliya. The other treifa he uses to say that if the bird was slaughtered and it turns out to be a treifa, there is Tumas Beis Sabliya. So how does Rabbi Yehuda know that a non-kosher bird has no Tumas Beis Sabliya? I mean, nevela nafkale. He learns it from the word nevela. Okay. Rabbi Meir, hi nevela my avile. What does he do with the word nevela? So he'll tell you the word nevela is to teach you the following halacha. When we see that there's an impurity on certain things, let's say on a bird that that dropped dead. L'shir achila b'kazayis, that the impurity would only happen if you had a full eating, an eating of a kazayis. So Gemara says, typically mikra kama, couldn't you learn that from a different verse where it says, don't eat it? So Gemara answers, no. Midafki rachmana b'lashon achila, because the Torah talks about eating. So Gemara says, we need two things about eating. Chad l'shir achila b'kazayis. One is to say that the impurity of tumas beis avliya is only when he eats a full kazayis. And the second is l'shir achila b'kdei achilas pras, that the eating has to be all done within the amount of time, without a break, long enough to eat half a loaf of bread. So how could that Dachmina would have thought to say, oh, v'chidushu, since this whole thing is such a novel idea, that when eating a bird, a dead bird, it creates an impurity on the clothing, it's so strange, the touch doesn't create the impurity, but the eating creates an impurity. So maybe Yosemik de Achilas Pras Nami Litami, even if he eats it slowly with big breaks in between of each bite, in between each bite, there was a break, the amount of time to eat a whole meal, to eat half a loaf, it should still create Tumah. Kamash, let's say I need a second verse to say it doesn't create Tumah. Okay. Now going back to the concept of the forbidden fats, that the forbidden fats are Tahor, in a nevela. Tana Rabbanu in a brisa. The verse says, v'chelev nevela, v'chelev trefa, and the forbidden fat of a nevela, the forbidden fat of a trefa, you can use it, therefore it's not tameh, but you can't eat it. Says the brisa, v'chelev beima tora kosam edab. The verse is talking about the fats of a kosher animal. You're saying we're talking about the fats of a kosher animal that drops dead. Maybe it's referring to the fats of even a non-kosher animal, that those fats stay tahor once the animal drops dead. Amrit, the Gemara says, but figure the following, the verse, Tier Michlal Shchuta. The verse says that if you have an animal and if it was slaughtered, then it's not going to have Tumas Nevela because it was slaughtered. V'tier Michlal Chelev. And you have another verse saying, and you have an animal that dropped dead. It wasn't slaughtered, so it's Nevela. But the chelev does not have tumas nevela. So makishatir michlal shchita b'tahora v'lo b'tmeya. So just like the idea of shchita taking away tumas nevela, that's in a kosher animal. That's in a non-kosher animal. It's still not kosher. The shchita is not doing anything for it. So afkishatir michlal chelev. So too, when we say that the chelev of a nevela doesn't have tuma. It's b'tohor v'lo b'tmeya. It's in a kosher animal, not in a non-kosher animal. Oh, or maybe klach l'derech zu. Maybe you should interpret things this way and say like this: tier michlal nevela. On the one hand, the verse says that. A non-kosher bird doesn't have tumas nevela, doesn't have tumas beis abliya of nivlas of tar, v'tier miklal chelev. And we're saying that if an animal drops dead, the chelev, the fats, are also not prohibited. So mak not tummy. So mak is v'tier miklal nevela b'tmeya v'lo b'torah. So just like when we say that there's no tumas nevela, that's referring to a non-kosher bird, drops dead, doesn't have tumas nevela. So maybe also, afkishatir michlal chelev. So to when an animal's chelev is permitted, it's referring between a non-kosher animal, the lobitzora, and not in a kosher animal. And maybe a kosher animal drops dead, even the fattest tumas nevela. Amrit, the Gemara says, what? How could you say that? Kishababa derech zo. If you're learning things in this way, He bitzahora. Then we're saying that the law that the fat is tahor, even though the animal dropped dead, is only true about a kosher animal. But kishababa derech zo, if you're going on this way, he bitzmeya. So then you're saying that the idea that the fat is tahor is true about a non-kosher animal and not in a kosher animal? That doesn't make sense. Talmud Lomar, so the verse, but the verse resolves it all. The verse says treifa. It's saying mishi yesh b'mina treifa. Those things that could have the prohibition of treifa have the law that the fat of when it drops dead is still tahor. Otzi asatzmeya. So clearly, it's not referring to a non-kosher animal. Shein b'mina treifa. Because there, you don't have a concept of treifa, because it's already non-kosher. It's prohibited because it's not kosher. V'lo otzi asachaya. But that's not to exclude a wild animal. Sheyesh b'mina treifa, because a wild animal does have the prohibition of treifa. Tamaloma, so to exclude a wild animal, we have the idea where it says v'chol otochlua, but you can't eat it. So mi shechel ba'asur b'sara mutter. When you're not allowed to eat the fat, but you could eat the meat, then when it all drops dead, the fat is not tummy. Yatzachaya, but that excludes a wild animal that drops dead. Because then, chelbu basara mutter, the fat is always allowed to be eaten, and as the flesh is allowed to be eaten. This is the braisa. Amli Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba l'Rava. Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba said to Rava, since the braisa says that a non-kosher animal doesn't have tumas nevela, elameyata, if this is the case, nivlas behema tohoro hu demitama, nivlas behema tmeya lo mitama. Is that really the case that a nevela of a kosher animal has tumas nevela, and a nevela of a non-kosher animal doesn't have tumas nevela? Amarle, so Rava responded back to Rav Yaakov Bar Abba, Kama Savi Shabishtuba. There's so many rabbis who are misunderstanding the Braisa. Seifa, the end of the Braisa, Asan Nivlas of Tame. It's referring to in a bird. If you have a non-kosher bird that drops dead, there's no Tumas Beis Hablia. But in an animal, if you have a non-kosher animal that drops dead, there is the tumah of nevela. It's only referring to the tumah of the bird. Okay, now it gets easier. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lo tir Rabbi Meir ela bitzmimin." When Rabbi Meir says that a malika, and then you find that the bird is a treifa, is not tumah. That's true if there was a kosher malika, because the bird was whole, and it was a malika. Avul bali mumu, but let's say the bird is missing a leg. Lo, then he wouldn't say that the malika removes tumas beis sablia. Rebbe Lezer said, no, afilu bali mumu, even if the bird's missing a leg, according to Rebbe Meir, the malika removes the tumah. It barnami, as we learned, I'm Rebbe Lezer, mitari Rebbe Meir, the bali mumu, Rebbe Meir says, even a bird with a blemish that has a malika done to it in the Beis HaMikdash, and it had been consecrated, it's now no longer metame tumas Beis HaBliya. It's not going to create impurity. Afilu avazim v'tarnagolim, even geese and chickens. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, if you're going to say that with birds, maybe we should say the same thing in regards to chopping off the neck of animals. Because you should learn from the chopping off the neck of Egla Rufa. So Araf Eiz, let's say a person chops off the neck, the back of the neck of a goat for the dead body. Ma, would we say it removes Tumas Nevela? Would we say Avazim V'Tarnagolim Taima Mai? That the same word Rabbi Meir extends Malika even to chickens and geese to meet a Da'ofos Ninu, because that's all one type of bird. Avil Eiz, but a goat with Egla Rufa Lav Mina De'eglu. It's not the same type. One's a goat, one's a calf. Odimu Mina De'behemu. Or maybe they're all the same type of animals, and therefore the same way one removes Tumas Nevela, the other one also removes Tumas Nevela. Okay, Bezrat Hashem on Shabbos, we'll continue at this point. Yeah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rezakas Es Yisrael, Lefich HaKirblem, Torah U'Mitzvah, Shanem, Adonai HaFetz L'Man Tzidko, Yagdil Torah.